everyone. This is The Big Fight and I am Maria Shakil. The BJP got the booster dose ahead of the next set of elections. A party which was written off by everyone pulled off a stunning upset, defying all odds. BJP, remember, was facing 10 years of anti-incumbency in Haryana. The morale of its party workers were low after the Lok Sabha polls. And it has now come up with its best performance ever in Haryana, which hasn't been its traditional bastion. Now it is hoping to repeat the success of Haryana in Maharashtra. The ruling BJP Shiv Sena NCP coalition in Maharashtra, which is seen as facing an uphill task, has reached out to two key groups, the scheduled castes and OBCs, that is the other backward classes. On Thursday, the Maharashtra cabinet took several key decisions, including approving an ordinance giving constitutional status to the state scheduled caste commission and giving its nod to the proposal urging the centre to hike the income criteria for inclusion in the creamy layer among OBCs from 8 lakh a year to 15 lakhs. Just to remind our viewers what happened in the Lok Sabha polls. The Mahavikas Agadi Alliance, which in Maharashtra comprises of the Congress, the Sharad Pawar faction of the NCP and Uddhav Thackeray faction of the Shiv Sena, had stunned the Mahayuti by winning 30 of Maharashtra's 48 Lok Sabha seats. The BJP, whose tally was 23 in 2019 general elections, was reduced to just 9, while the Ajit Pawar-led NCP managed to win only one seat. And one of the reasons attributed to Mahavikas Agadi's big victory was that it had managed to get its caste combination right. And Thursday's cabinet decisions are seen as a way of making a dent in that caste combination. The decisions are also being read as a means to blunt the Congress and India Alliance's attack on the NDA during the Lok Sabha elections that it wanted to end reservation. Now to the other side. The Congress is in huddle after their unexpected loss as the party calculates as to what went wrong. It is taking refuge in the fact that its vote share actually increased by 11% compared to 2019. So it went up from 28% to 39%. The BJP vote share increased by a little over 3% from 36.4 to 39.9%. Both parties had roughly an identical vote share, but the vote share to seat conversion of the BJP is much higher at 48 in comparison to the Congress at 37. So the gap between the party number one or the party which is forming the government to the Congress is a gap of 11 seats. Remember, in first past the post system, these thin margins in vote share can have huge impact on seats. So the question that we ask on the show tonight, can the Congress get its micromanagement right, its house in order, ahead of the crucial Maharashtra and Jharkhand polls? Joining me on this show, Shaina NC, national spokesperson of the BJP. We have Clyde of NCP Sharad Pawar faction, Rohit Chandrawarkar, senior journalist, and also Smith Singh Mann, spokesperson of the Congress. Rohit, beginning with you. Of course, you know, there are several analysts who are of the opinion that it is not a fair comparison to compare the two states. But the fact here is that there is one party which is going into these elections, and it always had a chance in Maharashtra, with far more momentum. It is making efforts to reach out to those castes which it presumably lost during the Lok Sabha polls. So don't you think that when it comes to Maharashtra, you may not be comparing it with Haryana because the two states are very, very distinct, but then the comparison will be made?
Maria, the comparison will be made and it is worth a comparison. See, till about a week ago, I should say, there was the general feeling in Maharashtra was that, Mahavikas Agadi, which is the Congress Alliance, has an upper edge because of the Maratha agitation, because of farmers' issues, and because of many other problems, economic problems or whatever. But what we saw in Haryana, all of you know very well, is that, you know, the anti-BJP vote got split in three directions, four directions, whatever it is. between rebels and between Aam Aadmi Party and other parties. Can a similar thing happen in Maharashtra is the question that people are asking since last 2 days. And I think, you know, the formations are now beginning to take shape in the sense that a third alliance is shaping up in Maharashtra. Many say that it is being encouraged by the BJP. There are also small players who are saying that if they don't get a ticket on Mahavikas Agadi's candidature, they will jump and they will act as rebels. So it in that sense, the picture is going to be a bit similar to Haryana, where BJP alliance looks like it is stuck together, it is united, because power is the glue that unites them together. The three parties are united. And on the other side, we see that cracks are developing. Shiv Sena Uddhav Thackeray Group spokesperson Sanjay Raut writing an editorial in Shiv Sena mouthpiece against the Congress party, almost hinting that they are not happy with what the Congress is doing. The Congress was looking overconfident, saying a few things, you know, asking for more seats in Mumbai city, etc. So there are cracks developing. That's what we are seeing in the last 2 or 3 days.
Yes.
And that's what brings us to the conclusion that perhaps
there is nothing,
picture is a bit similar to Haryana.
Okay. And there's nothing stopping, say, the Mahavikas Agadi from setting up that alleged B team of their own as well, if they want to get it right. You know, so that is the big question. But China NC. You know,
yes,
from this is a classic BJP of Prime Minister Modi and Home Minister Amit Shah, which is at play here, where you know how to fight it out when the vote share is very, very close. So, you know, are you all battle ready? And what exactly is the thought behind the announcements which have been made in what is being seen as the last cabinet of Eknath Shinde before the elections?
Maria, I just want to say 2-3 things. First, when everyone said, oh, BJP will not even be 15 in Haryana, this is the time for Congress, look at the astounding success. I mean, this is not just history hat trick, but to have 50 MLAs in your bag is historic. And that does not necessarily have to be dissected as if it's a Jat versus non-Jat or Dalit versus non-Dalit or just division of votes, which seems to be the simple analysis. This is a strong cadre. If you have 11 crore members in the Bharatiya Janata Party, you have the support of the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, you have the support of people working tirelessly on ground, and the most popular prime minister who percolates down to the poorest of poor. If you take the welfare schemes, this was the first time 2012 to 24, if you see the income of the farmers, it's double. You have 24 crops that got MSP. The Swaminathan Commission was not just implemented, but also fine-tuned. You look at the youth and you had apprenticeship schemes, you had the internship program. You look at women, you have Jan Dhan, Mudra, Pradhan Mantri, Awas Yojana, Ujwala, the list is endless. So I think this is a vote for development and you're going to see the same in Maharashtra.
Okay.
And why do I cite the example of Maharashtra? Because you keep on talking about Maratha, Dalit. This is about progress. If you ask what happened in the cabinet meeting, please understand that if you take even a city like Mumbai, look at the metro, look at the coastal road, look at the infrastructure projects, the Atal Setu, the list is endless. So people are going to vote for those who are Pradhan Sevaks in Maharashtra, and that is clearly the Mahayuti. And we have been trial tested and it will be hat-trick again in history, let me tell you.
Hmm. Okay. Smit Singh Mann. Of course, your bargaining power has gone down and there's lots to learn. One thing is also clear that when it is about a direct fight between the BJP and the Congress, you do not really perform. And hence, your alliance partners here, Sharad Pawar and Uddhav Thackeray, will be taking charge of the entire election campaign. And then only you can have a fighting chance in these elections.
See, Congress is very clear that we are fighting this election as a family. We are fighting this election in coordination and consensus with our alliance partners. And that
That's
is very clear from the
start. That's not what Congress was saying till few days back.
I think it's very clear from the beginning. Congress was saying this few months back also. Congress was saying we are going to fight this election together. And that agenda is very clear. Coming to Haryana, I think it's something else we have to see also, that we got more or less equal vote share as to the BJP. The problem is that we were not able to convert seats, and there are many reasons. we are raising very essential points about the EVMs, about the batteries in the EVMs. And if there is lessons learned from our party...
there's no EVM tampering. And if somebody else wins, it's an EVM question. Please don't challenge the election commission.
I think it's a very, very clear thing about 99% battery and the 60-70%. And we have a right to get answers. Now, coming to the other things. Yes, there are a lot to learn. If we have equal vote share, why were we not able to convert that into seats? So in direct fight with the BJP, we got equal vote share. Now,
but
converting
the fact is that a party which was supposed to be down and out also increased its vote share by 3%. So, Clyde, my question here is, that we have not been talking about an important aspect, which we have discussed in several other state elections. Perhaps it's a return again of that silent voter. 40% plus OBC population in Haryana. BJP tried to consolidate them because on the other hand was that narrative of the Congress party where they had a dominant face in Bhupinder Hooda, which was that fear grew of a potential Jat Shahi. My question here is, Uddhav Thackeray Sena has spoken out. Is the NCP also of the opinion that the Congress is the weak link in this entire alliance?
Absolutely not. Congress is equally strong along with us, and all three of us are going to work together strongly. What happened in Haryana has happened. You cannot rule that out. But does not mean that in Maharashtra, the same thing will happen. We are working together very strongly. And let me tell you, all this is being spoken about how the Mahavikas Agadi is not announcing their seat. What about the Mahayuti? They have a lot of problems all the time. I mean, people from the Shinde camp are saying that, they feel like vomiting when they sit next to Ajit Pawar. They called him Nalayak. I mean, they are protesting him against him on the streets. So look at that also. You can't be looking at one side and not the other. They have more problems there. We at least speak openly. We speak about each other. We are here as a democratic form of a group together. So there is no problem whatsoever. And let me tell you something. You talk about consolidation of that silent voter and all. The silent voter has spoken during the Lok Sabha election, and they've got a drumming. The Mahayuti led by the BJP has got a drumming out of 48 seats. Look at the numbers that we got. We got 41. So the answer is right in front of you. The proof is in the pudding that the people of Maharashtra has rejected Mahayuti. They will reject them further
Clyde,
also. And let me tell you something.
My only observation here is, since you talk about the Lok Sabha results, even in Haryana, the Congress did not do badly. The reason that they thought that they were really strong was that they managed to snatch five seats in that state and giving them confidence that they have a chance to return to power after 10 years.
Maria,
yes.
Are you forgetting there was an election in Jammu and Kashmir also? Why are we not talking about Jammu and Kashmir?
Yes,
we are talking about
Jammu
BJP,
Kashmir,
right? BJP
is,
being invincible, according to you.
The national conference.
Let me speak, Maria. When you were speaking, I was not speaking. You called me.
Okay, we'll try and connect with Clyde in just a bit. But the point being made here is also about National Conference pulling that election. It emerged as the single largest party, and thereafter it ensured it did the heavyweight lifting there. So, Shaina, quick word on all's not well even in Mahayuti. I mean, what we were also told that Ajit Pawar, the Deputy Chief Minister, walked out of the cabinet within 10 minutes after the announcement was made.
Absolutely not, Maria. All is well in the Mahayuti. Unlike the other parties that you have, Mr. Sanjay Raut waking up in the morning and criticizing the Congress and Uddhav Thackeray saying they need to do soul searching. And then you have another comment coming from Mr. Sharad Pawar. That is obviously an alliance which is only there for the lust for power. We are here with a common ideology, which is to serve the people of Maharashtra. And in the best interest, whether it is Eknath Shinde, Devendra Fadnavis or Ajit Pawar, you haven't seen these kind of comments out of tune or out of turn.
Okay.
I think it's every political party's prerogative when they want to announce the candidates and when they want
Clyde,
to talk
I'm coming
about
to you.
When they want to talk about who they are posing.
No, my video was frozen. Maria, give me 30 seconds,
please. Don't worry about us. There is a saying in Hindi which is Jo Jita Wohi Sikandar. So whatever our strategy is
point,
best
point
suited
taken,
to us.
Clyde, your video was frozen. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that network issue. But my point is, I just heard the BJP spokesperson said that whatever they've said about Ajit Pawar or anybody is not out of context. So is he trying to say that they meant when they called him Nalayak, his own finance department as Nalayak? Did they mean that, you know, they feel like vomiting when they sit next to Ajit Pawar? This is an absolute insult of Ajit Pawar. Bharatiya Janata Party and Ekanath Shinde are insulting Ajit Pawar. And believe me, don't be surprised if Ajit Pawar leaves them and fights independently. Because BJP is known to gobble up the people they take together. They like to finish people when they go together. And having said that, we are talking about the election. You say, you know, in Lok Sabha, there was something different. It's not necessarily happening in the assembly election. That's exactly the point. Point here is, you speak about Haryana and you see the result. But let me tell you one thing. There's a lot of issue in the ground level, in the Mahayuti. You know, it's a job of spokesperson and me and Shaila, it's our job to cover up certain things. But the fact of the matter is, come down to the ground level, there's a lot of problems between the Mahayuti. And believe me, at the end of the day, it's the people of Maharashtra who are going to decide. They decided in the Lok Sabha. I'm here, you're here. They will decide the same thing in the Vidhan Sabha elections. Because the ground reality is that people have realized that the Mahayuti is only Jumlebaz. Now, let me tell you something. You spoke about creamy layer. Okay, there are certain cabinet decisions that were taken yesterday. Now, there's a point there where the salaries of the madrasa teachers have increased. Now, everybody in the BJP, the leaders, are going to town and talking about madrasas, talking about Maulana Azad Trust. They keep going on. What happened to them today? Okay. Are they going to accept this increase in salary?
Okay.
Are they going to keep quiet? Maybe they'll keep quiet because they want to be connected to power.
I've just
but you can't
time.
Have duplicity. 1 minute, Shaina. 10 seconds. 1 minute. Maria, 10 seconds. You can't have duplicity. Towards the brink of elections, you come and you declare all kinds of schemes and then you're waiting for consent from the center.
When Rohit Chandrawalkar
gives consent?
Rohit
Chandrawalkar. After the code of conduct comes in, you'll give consent?
Okay.
Answer me. No, after code of conduct, you'll give consent.
No, I
how
have
can
just
you?
Enough time for Rohit Chandrawalkar now, please. Rohit Chandrawalkar, do you think, you know, in Haryana, what is interesting was that the BJP, despite being in power for 10 years, went into the election as an underdog. While on the other hand, you had a party which was overconfident, aggressive. Do you think it's similar narrative in the sense that right now, the way it is poised, as we wait for the election dates to be announced, that there is one side which is in power trying to do course correction. On the other hand, there is a party which is confident that what the advantage they had during the Lok Sabha, they have to only give that basic push to convert it into the assembly results.
Maria, it's a very similar. See, the state and the assembly in Maharashtra is about three times the size of Haryana. And the other thing that is different is that you had almost a bipolar kind of a fight in Haryana. Here you have alliances. So I think the ruling alliance will have a slight edge if you compare the situation with Haryana, because whenever you have alliance partners at the opposition side, which you have right now, there are some differences which are evident. I agree with one sentence that Clyde said, which is that, you know, it's their job, it's his and China NC's job to cover up those differences. The differences are there on both sides. Like you rightly mentioned, the Ajit Pawar factor in Mahayuti and the Uddhav Thackeray Shiv Sena not getting along too well with Congress, that factor on the other side. So in both alliances, there are certain differences, there are cracks. Now, the situation is that there is going to be a lot of rebellion, especially on the Mahayuti side, from Sharad Pawar's party or from Congress, which may not exist on the BJP side. That advantage will go a bit towards the ruling party in Maharashtra. That's my reading. Another last factor I want to say is that, see, because there are going to be too many candidates and too many parties, I've said this on your show earlier also, Maharashtra is a state, if you look at national perspective, you will not see any other state across India where 6, 7, 8 parties are fighting assembly polls, Maria. Very important point. There are two NCPs, two Shiv Senas, one Congress, one BJP, that is 6 parties, plus you have Raj Thackeray, plus you have Prakash Ambedkar and MIM. So there are 8, 9 parties and there are going to be multiple candidates. That makes the election very uncertain. So the winning margin of every candidate is going to be very small. It's going to be unpredictable. In Lok Sabha also, we had one candidate in Mumbai city winning with a margin of just 48 votes. Can you imagine that? Lok Sabha seat won by Ekanath Shinde's man, by 48 votes. So in Vidhan Sabha, it's going to be, in assembly, it's going
Absolutely.
To be like somebody winning by 100 votes, 200 votes, very unpredictable. But the last word here I want to say is that there are cracks on both sides in both alliances. Obviously, the spokespersons here, both the spokespersons here, will try to cover it up.
It's about also sending that message, which, despite cracks, if you can still get your house in order for the public viewing, that is where the real story would be. Because during the Lok Sabha elections, particularly in Maharashtra, BJP did not get that optics right. There were a lot of questions being asked. What was the reason for getting Ajit Pawar on board and other parties, you know. So the BJP's loss in Maharashtra was also because of the wrong alliances. That's what it was seen as. Shaina NC, Clyde, Smith Singh and Rohit, thank you so much for joining us. We are, in fact, earlier today, I spoke to Shiv Sena MP Milind Deora. Listen in to what he's told us. Milind Deora joining us. Milind, there is a lot of anticipation as to what will play out in Maharashtra. Has there been some course correction, particularly after the dismal performance in the Lok Sabha polls? And what do you think will be the impact of these surprise Haryana results on the upcoming elections?
Well, I think Haryana was certainly a sort of an encouraging result for the Mahayuti. What happened, Maria, it's important to understand that firstly in Maharashtra, if you look at my party, the strike rate was actually much better than people had expected us to perform. People had thought that the newly formed Shiv Sena, if you will, would barely cross 2 seats, and we got 7 seats, and we fought much less seats than, let's say, our closest opponent, the UBT faction. Narrative that was played out in the Lok Sabha elections was unfortunately something which was full of lies. It was essentially to mislead the public into thinking that if Narendra Modi ji became Prime Minister of India again, the constitution would be changed, reservations would be stopped. All of this, as we know, was just plain simple lies. That narrative, or should I call it a fake narrative, has been busted in Haryana. And therefore, it gives us all more hope that the Mahayuti will come back to power and score a hat-trick in Maharashtra, just like we did in Haryana.
You know, the Samvidhan Khatre mein hai, that narrative which was built by the India bloc and also the reservation of Dalits will be done away with, did cost you seats in Maharashtra. Just 24 hours back, the Shinde cabinet has made a series of announcements for the OBCs and the SCs. Are these aimed at their consolidation and also, isn't it coming too late?
No, none of these are things which are new or unexpected. These are all issues which were in the pipeline for a long time. Look, every government makes faster decisions as the code of conduct is likely to come into effect. That's just the nature of politics. And that's, I guess, one of the reasons why we need the one nation, one election policy. But all these were issues which were already on the in the pipeline. They were being debated, discussed within cabinet meetings by bureaucrats for a long, long time. So none of these are related to the election. But yes, the government will obviously want to announce them before the code of conduct comes in. But beyond all these issues, beyond all these announcements that are being made today, tomorrow, yesterday, day before yesterday, I think that there is a certain, people are understanding that the narrative that was spread, for instance, let me give you an instance on an economic agenda. A fake narrative that was being spread was that Maharashtra was losing business to other states in India. And that was actually true during the MVA government's time. At that time, Maharashtra has been the number one state in the country to attract foreign direct investment. During MVA's time, it fell down to number two. One of the reasons for that, by the way, was because, if you recall, a rogue policeman was going outside homes of industrialists, planting bombs and trying to extort money from them. And the chief minister at the time was giving that police officer a clean chit on the floor of the assembly, saying, don't compare him to Osama bin Laden. You're bound to lose investments. You're bound to see a flight of capital when you do things like that, when the political leadership is supporting extortionists, not industrialists, not entrepreneurs, not traders, you're bound to see a flight of capital. And that's what happened. And as a result of that, Maharashtra fell to number two in terms of attracting foreign direct investment. Today, I'm happy to state that we are back to being the number one state to attract foreign direct investment. Today, the largest port in the country, which was being opposed by the UBT, is the Bhumi Pujan has happened by the Prime Minister. It will be the largest port in the country. The infrastructure that we're seeing in the state is unparalleled. I invite you, I invite people from outside Mumbai who haven't been to Mumbai in a long time to come and see the transformations that are underway in Mumbai and Maharashtra. So that narrative is being busted because people are beginning to see things on the ground.
Okay.
People did buy into that narrative for some time. They did think that this might be true. But now that projects are being executed, not just the Bhumi Pujans, but the actual completion, that is beginning to change. And people are now realizing that they were misled and that it's time to re-elect this government again.
Okay, I would like you to respond to this question as someone who has spent most of his political career in the Congress. As a former Congress leader and now as the Sena MP, the BJP under Prime Minister Modi believes in constantly improvising its script. There is course correction, of course. But the Congress doesn't do that. Have they lost the momentum then that the India bloc had immediately after the Lok Sabha polls in the month of January, in the month of July?
Look, we are in a situation in India which is very unique. We are in a situation in India where the BJP, despite coming to power for three consecutive terms, which is historic and it hasn't happened since Jawaharlal Nehru, I think 53 years ago. Despite that, BJP felt that it was not up to the expectations, worked hard, won Haryana. The Congress, on the other hand, despite three consecutive losses, being reduced to two digits in three consecutive elections, thought that it was a victory and was celebrating it as a victory. So that's a difference in attitude between, I guess, certainly the BJP and parties like mine and the way the Congress thinks. I think for them, you know, it's like a student who passes and gets 40% and thinks that they should celebrate because they've been failing and getting 25% election after election. Now, having said that, the Congress in the next 5-year cycle before the next Lok Sabha election will win a few states. I'm sure they will. But the nature of the Congress is that unless you reward merit, and if they continue to remain a party that punishes merit, meritocracy and rewards mediocrity, then every loss will never wake them up from their slumber. And even a small victory will be seen as the ultimate ending of the war. So that's, I don't have much to say to them, but I had tried to warn them for a long time when I was part of the system that there's so much more the party has to do in so many aspects. All I can say is I wish them well.
All right, Milind Deora, Shiv Sena MP there. Thank you so much for your time. With that, it's a wrap from me on this edition of The Big Fight. I'll be seeing you next week on another hot topic of the week. Thanks so much for watching.